Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it on the John Chuckery Show. Live here on a Tuesday evening, 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Don't forget, we'll open up the phone lines as well. Same number. As we'll do a challenge, Chuckery coming up here at the top of the hour, watching some Braves baseball in Washington, trying to get back on a winning track after losers of four in a row. Odyssey.com app, say catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, at JMCH316, at JarvisD90. Well, Falcons draft in the books, and of course, with the changes to the NFL offseason, no clear real timeline, I guess, for when we will start to see players up in Flowery Branch. I'm sure there'll be like a mandatory rookie camp that we'll get into. But here to help us break it all down, many of you know her as Arthur Blank's favorite Falcons writer. We know her as our friend of the show, Tori McElhaney, who covers all things Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic. Follow her on Twitter at Tori_McElhaney. Tori, as always, appreciate it. Thanks for a few minutes on this wet, rainy Tuesday evening.
No, of course. Always happy to hop on with y'all.
What did you think overall about the draft? Just your perception of what the Falcons did from a need or best player standpoint. What were kind of some of your initial thoughts in looking at all of the picks?
Yeah, so I think it's really interesting because you think back to what Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith said that they were going to do within their very first press conference when they were both hired. Is Terry Fontenot said that his draft philosophy was to take best player available, and they take Kyle Pitts at number four. And then Arthur Smith said in a perfect world he'd like to have depth on both lines of scrimmage, and they pick up two offensive linemen and two defensive linemen. So in retrospect, they did exactly what they said they were going to. And I think when you break it all down, all the rumors leading up to it, it really was as simple as taking the best player available and getting help in the trenches and also getting help in the secondary, which is a big piece of it too.
You know, Tori, we were just talking about Peter King and the interview he did with Arthur Smith on Friday and the comments. And when you read the tea leaves, I thought it said a lot before I even read these comments, just about the idea of, obviously, they not only didn't take quarterback at number four, but they didn't draft a quarterback, period. They didn't take any draft capital whatsoever to invest in a quarterback. And it makes me think that, and I want to get your thoughts on it, that, you know, this idea of Matt only being here maybe a year or two, I think at that position, I think that they will try to ride out Matt for as long as they can. If that's 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is, till the end of his contract, I really do think that this franchise, with some of the tea leaves that I read over the weekend, tell you that he's going to be here for a good while.
Yeah, I tend to agree, especially now that we see that you know that the draft is behind us and there wasn't a quarterback taken. They only signed A.J. McCarron on a one-year deal and then pick up Felipe Franks as an undrafted free agent. And so now Matt Ryan isn't the only quarterback in Atlanta, but it does make it pretty clear that the confidence in Matt Ryan being the present and relatively short-term future, however, you know, until his contract is probably up, he's the answer at quarterback. And I think it would be interesting to see how his succession story plays out over the next year or 2 years, because I do think it would be important for the Falcons to go ahead and get somebody in there who they can groom to take over the offense when Matt Ryan's contract is up. But for the time being, they're confident in him, and I think that just shows the fact that they didn't draft a quarterback, especially that number four spot. That was the big kicker. It's like, okay, if the Falcons are really thinking about moving on from Matt Ryan, they're going to take a quarterback at number four, and they didn't.
Falcons reporter for The Athletic, Tori McElhaney, joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline as we, take a look back at the Falcons draft. My one criticism, though, I will say of the draft is I didn't like the fact that it felt like they waited so long to address pass rush. Do you get the sense that, you know, and obviously we got to talk, you know, we at some point we have to figure out money because they don't have enough money to sign their draft class, but and you've got all the money, so I don't have any money to give them, so they're going to have to borrow from you, Tori. But anyway, addressing pass rush, it feels like that they're going to look for post-June 1st cuts, training camp cuts to help with that because, again, we talked about quarterback. They don't have another starter, let's put it that way, to stand on the opposite side of Dante Fowler and say, go get the quarterback in an NFL game right now.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And it was between pass rush and running back. Those were the two position groups that I really felt like for the months leading up to the draft that the Falcons had to address that. Running back, not so much after they picked up Mike Davis, but I still had it as a relatively important need. And then pass rush, I had as a very important need. I had it in the top. I literally looked at it and I was like, all right, secondary help and then pass rush help. Those were the two position groups that I felt was so incredibly necessary for the Falcons to go after. And they didn't. There wasn't, I mean, you look at the top five picks and it's like, all right, like they didn't go edge rusher, which was very interesting to me. And I mean, you're right. They need some help in that area. And I know that the whole idea of hopefully getting more out of Dante Fowler, him becoming the guy that they acquired him to be. I mean, he knew in 2020 that he didn't perform the way that the Falcons needed him to. I mean, I guess that's honestly probably why he took the pay cut that he did. But at this point, you can't just rely on Dante Fowler. And even if you're looking in the interior, you just can't rely on Grady Jarrett, as good as Grady Jarrett has been for this group. You've got to get some help in there. And it makes things easier on the back end. It makes things easier on the secondary if you do have a consistent pass rush. And right now, the Falcons don't. And I think you're absolutely right that you're looking at post-June 1st cuts, post-June 1st moves in order to maybe bring in some more help in that specific area. But at the exact same time, in the exact same breath, we've got to talk about how the salary cap affects that. And if the Falcons can get into a position where they can find someone who can be that consistency there. And right now, they don't have the money to do that.
What do you think are the options then? Yeah, they've restructured a lot of the high-priced guys. There's only two guys, really, I think, that they could free up money with. But what do you think the option? I mean, does it make a Julio Jones trade more realistic post-June 1 to try to free up money? Or what do you see as the move or two that they're going to have to try to do to free up cap space?
Yeah, you have to look right at Grady Jarrett and Julio Jones. And that to me is the only way that you can create money. You can find money anywhere. May 4th at this point in time, and the Falcons still haven't touched Grady Jarrett's contract. I find that incredibly just odd, because even before Matt Ryan's contract was restructured, before Jake Matthews' contract was restructured, I was sitting there saying, like, okay, Grady Jarrett, restructure his contract, extend his contract, move some money down the line for him. He's the heart and soul of this defense. You don't want him going anywhere. He's still playing at the peak. I mean, and then nothing's happened with that. And I don't know what's going on behind the scenes to maybe why the Falcons are dragging their feet or maybe someone in Grady Jarrett's camp. I mean, I don't know the full extent of what's going on behind the scenes with that, but it just, that to me is what makes the most sense. And I just don't understand. And then, of course, there's the Julio Jones trade talks. And as of right now, we don't know how serious that is. Terry Fonda has been saying since he came in to this job that he was willing and open to talking about potential trades for any player. And that always included Julio Jones. So if they're not going to touch Grady Jarrett's contract, I don't know how else you'd get that money without a post-June 1st trade of Julio Jones. So it really, to me, comes down to those two guys and what the Falcons see the most beneficial move being.
If we're this far into it, so let me follow up. If we're this far into it, and the Falcons, I mean, it's not like a mystery that the Falcons know they need money. Doesn't it feel like that, and Jarvis and I have kind of talked about this, I just get this internal sense that Grady doesn't want to do all that. That Grady, not saying he's disenfranchised with the Falcons, but I think Grady's at a point where he knows his value and he knows how good of a player he is. Play this thing out, and, you know, if it's the Falcons that sign him long term, great. But if he can go on the open market, maybe even better. I just get the sense personally, Torrey, that this is more on Grady, because the Falcons have no reason to not want to restructure him when they're desperate for cash right now.
Yeah, no, and that's why I said, like, I don't know if it's Grady Jarrett's camp or not, because that's a huge thing. It's like, from the Falcons side of it, it seems obvious. But you're exactly right that Grady Jarrett's one of the best defensive tackles in the game right now. I mean, he's getting double teamed left and right. You can't flip on Falcons tape and not just go gaga over what Grady Jarrett can do for them. And so there are a lot of teams probably looking at Grady Jarrett, and you're looking at those teams that are close to kind of breaking that barrier of being Super Bowl contenders, and you think somebody like a Grady Jarrett could come in and kind of push them over the edge. Same exact thing with Julio. I mean, that's the conversations that you think the Falcons are having with a bunch of different people right now, and it's something that these players have to be weighing too. I mean, that's a great question, and we are still trying to figure that answer out.
Torrey, last thing for you, just about 30 seconds left. Are we expecting like a rookie camp? I mean, obviously there's lots of changes to how the NFL offseason is going to be now. What's kind of the next step? What are we looking for next as far as somebody being up in Flowery Branch and reporting to do something?
Yeah, no, I definitely foresee a rookie camp. I definitely think that is probably next. I think that we're at a point now where I think a rookie camp makes sense. I think there's a safe way to do it, especially if, you know, the whole big thing is getting vaccinations and all that kind of stuff. So I think if we're to the point now where things start opening up, you really could see a rookie camp, and I really am banking on there being one.
At @Torrey_McElhaney, she covers all things Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic and joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Torrey, as always, appreciate it. Thanks for a few minutes this evening. Be safe. Be well. We'll chat here soon.
Awesome. Sounds good. Have a good night, too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.